time and be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist. Joey B has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Today, our show is all about the turkey. He is definitely an awesome animal. Hey, did you know that 3 wild turkeys were served at the first Thanksgiving? Well, you know, we always hear about turkey Thanksgiving. You probably also know, or maybe not, that venison was served, ducks were served, goose, a number of fish, and 3 sisters. Yes, your 3 sisters were invited there. Well, the 3 sisters are actually, with the Native Americans, they would have 3 plants growing together in association. They would have corns, beans, and squash. So yes, they were served at the first Thanksgiving, and probably you may have them at your table sometime on your Thanksgiving day. Also, Ben Franklin wanted the turkey to be our national bird. And, you know, many people say, well, the turkey's not really smart. Well, I'm going to prove to you today that he is truly a smart bird. And here's one of the real cool facts, and I'm going to tell you a number of neat things going on today in the show. Well, the male turkey, the tom, has a red, white, and blue head. So I guess if our flag is red, white, and blue, the red, white, and blue head, that would make sense. The hen, she has a gray head. But I'm sure if we were going to draw the national bird and put it near the flag, it would have been the tom. So a couple of things that you need to know. There's 5 subspecies of turkeys in the United States. The one I'm most associated with is the Meleagris gallopavo. That is genus and species name. And my grad research was on, or some of my research was on, turkey vocalization. So I know a bit about turkeys, and we'll get to some of that vocalization later on. But I'm sure you also know that this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. Now, here's a neat thing. Turkeys would rather run than fly. And it's pretty neat when you see a flock of turkeys, let's say that there's some type of an alarm, and one turkey takes off running through the woods, and another turkey, the whole flock, and they will actually just follow each other, and you see this huge waddle going on, and it is amazing. But turkeys are mostly feather. Like when you look at their huge body, it's mostly feather. So you just, it looks like they're waddling, but it's all the feathers shaking back and forth. Pretty cool sight to see. I just call it the turkey waddle. And a wild turkey, you know, average weight, depends on where you are in the country, plus or minus 16 to 18 pounds. You know, the turkeys that you're probably having on your Thanksgiving table weigh quite a bit more than that. And here's a neat fact. Because turkeys would rather run than fly, and I'll talk to you in about a second about them flying. But here's the domestic turkeys that we have, you see the white feathers, they do not fly. And I guess it makes sense because if you're a turkey farmer and your crop could fly away, that would probably not be too good for you. Well, let's just say this, that it's a good thing their crop doesn't fly away because on Thanksgiving Day, in the U.S., we average eating 45 million turkeys. Now, that's one big feast. Well, turkeys at nighttime, they want to go roost up in a tree. And you hear the word roost with birds often. And the word roost simply means when a bird, you know, goes to sleep somewhere, and most birds will roost up in a tree. Well, the only way the turkey can get up in that tree is to fly. So if you have turkeys in your area, just before dark, you're looking at the sun setting, select the tree that you've seen turkeys in and just watch there and just, you know, take a look. And you will see them, and they are a really powerful bird to get that big old body up into the tree. They've been clocked at speeds up to 55 miles per hour, so that's pretty amazing. In the tree above my driveway, I've had 5-6 turkeys last couple years that would roost up in a tree. And from the property next to me, big open field, enough space for them to gain speed. So I would just hang out on the property line and just watch them. And you'd see them like powerful, bang, 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 bang with the wings. And all of a sudden, they get into that tree. And, you know, people don't think, a couple things, that they can fly. And people don't think that a big old bird like that would roost up in a tree. Well, one of my nephews was really little. and I'm saying like 2 years old, and I'm talking about turkeys and doing a few turkey calls and things. And he's going, turkey no living tree, turkey no living tree. Well, we're having a big family party while all this is going on. And it was just dark, and I missed them flying into the roost because that would have been cool to show them, but we missed that. And I go outside, and I said, look. And he says, turkey and tree. I said, look, more turkey and tree. Yeah, well, guess what? Turkeys do. They roost up there. Now, when you go to bed, and I know this has never happened to you. I know that you've, like, never fallen out of your bed at night, you know, your little roll action. Well, could you imagine being a turkey in a tree and this happening? Well, it doesn't happen, because what will happen is the turkey will actually get up into the tree and move from branch to branch till he finds the perfect branch that fits him well, and he locks in on the branch, and as he locks in on the branch, there are tendons in his legs that lock and prevent him from falling out of the tree. So, you know, here's a cool thing, because I am the proverbial morning guy. I rise every morning at 4:30, 5 a.m. in the morning. Like, my alarm's set for 5, and typically I am downstairs making coffee at 5 a.m. And I guess the only drawback to, you know, I want to see the turkeys come out of the tree, so I get outside. I will actually, at first light, watch them fly out of the roost, which is a pretty neat thing. I guess the only drawback to having this huge oak tree, it's about 150-year-old oak that's right outside in my driveway, is having, I guess, all the turkey scat, the le poo-poo, all over my driveway. Because let's just say this, turkey scat is just simply not chickadee-sized, if you get my drift on that one. Now, turkeys are, as I said before, a very smart bird, and that's the common misconception. And they have a complete vocalization. I'm going to put my animal bag, pull it over here, take out a turkey box call, and let's talk a little bit while I'm getting the box call out. I'll say this. Tom Turkey is the only one that gobbles, and he gobbles during the mating season. You know what's funny? You read a little book, and as you read a book for children, and you say, and Tom Turkey goes gobble, gobble. Well, it sounds a little bit different, and it's not from my call right now. This is something that you will actually just hear, and it's a pre-recorded gobble. When you hear the hen, though, they communicate with the flock and her poults, and these are the babies, and we'll talk more about poults. You know, the word poultry comes from the word poults, so you probably know a little bit of that. We'll talk more about that later on. So let's talk turkey right now. And the first call a turkey does, specifically coming out of the roost in the morning, is a locator call. And I just call it like the hello call. So think about this. You're walking down the street. You see one of your friends way down the street. You go, hey, what's going on? Well, turkeys typically do the same thing. And that locator call, and I've got my box call here, sounds like this. Well, that's basically saying, hey, what's going on? Well, you could also understand this. Out in the wild, the more you talk when you are a prey animal gives predators an idea of where you are. So once they're out of the roost, they do less talking, and they might just cluck to each other, say, hey, I'm here, and a simple little cluck. And, you know, there is an alarm putt, too, and think about this. If you've ever heard someone, it could be even a child on a playground or something, when they're in trouble, like you could hear the difference in their voice. And with that alarm putt, it's just a harder putt, cluck. And what they're doing really is say, danger. And I have seen a turkey do the alarm. Once they do it, all the heads of the turkeys in that flock go up. The one that saw the danger, because he knows which direction the danger is in, he takes off in the opposite direction. And then you just instantly see, you know, it gets back to that turkey wallow, and they are off and running. And this, you know, I always say this, but I'm not the first one. In nature, you don't have to be the fastest. You just don't want to be the slowest, because the slowest typically gets eaten. So your job is to make sure that in that waddle, you're somewhere in the middle of the pack. And if you've ever held a cat before, I'm not a big cat person, love animals, not a big cat person, but I've held cats before. And you're petting them and they begin to purr. Well, turkeys purr too when they are content. And their purr sounds a little bit different. Well, that little prayer is, you know, I'm feeding and you're a little bit near me. Obviously, we're turkeys at the time. And while we're doing this feeding going on, I might just purr a little bit. It's a little quiet little sound, but hey, you know where I'm at. I know where you're at. And the other thing is, there is a musical note that the hen, that's the female, will do with her poults. And it's just something between mom and baby so that she can speak to them. And I'll give you an example of that. A couple years back, I'm in my garden in the back, a huge vegetable garden, Joey B, totally organic guy. And I'm back there, and I see a hen. I have perennial flower gardens, you know, attached to it. And I see the hen in the perennial gardens, and probably only like 15 feet from me. So obviously she was used to seeing humans around. And I just sort of paid her no attention because I just wanted to work in the garden, sort of let her do her thing. I'm doing my thing. And then after a while, because this is just me, you know, I was going to go running inside, grab a digital camera, take a few pictures of her. I take like two steps and she does this little musical note that I didn't catch at the beginning. And all of a sudden she takes off and out pops from my perennial garden all these poults, boop, and they all just go following her. And she probably had her poults, her clutch of eggs, right there. That's probably where they hatched in my perennials. They were probably only like days old, but it was that musical note. And it's like, here I am, Joey B, the environmental scientist guy, and I missed that one. It was like, dang, man. But I saw them bolt off, but hey, with no camera in my hand. Now, during the mating season, the toms, they like to do two things. They will constantly strut, and you always hear the term strut your stuff. Well, this comes from Tom turkeys, and they will gobble. And as I was telling you about some of the turkeys that are on my property, one year there was a tom came in, and it was a young, so this is his first year that he's going to be strutting his stuff. And the hens that were there, and he just kept strutting and strutting and gobbling. And I am not joking. This was going on into the dark. This was going on in a tree. He'd gobble probably for, I don't know, it'd be dark for 2 and 3 hours sometimes, and he'd still be gobbling incessantly. And I just kept saying, man, he's using a lot of energy. And most males during mating season, all different animals, most of them do use a lot of energy, and they eat a little bit less. Well, I kept hearing this guy go gobble and strut and gobble strut for probably about 3 weeks. One morning, I look out in the property behind me, and I look out there, and I go, no. And I go in the back, and that tom, he was actually dead. And it's like, here's one of the sadder animal stories. And I am sure that he spent so much time strutting and gobbling, and I'm saying like 18, 20 hours a day for 3-4 weeks straight. So he barely ate anything. The sad story of, you know, little food, no energy, ran out of energy. So I've seen, like, I guess, the good of, you know, animals in the wild. And then I've seen those times where things are not so good out in the wild. So let's turn things to a little bit brighter here. And there are two distinct flocks that you see in the wintertime. You will see a distinct flock in the wintertime of just toms. Those are the male turkeys. And then you're going to see a distinct flock of hens and their poults. And let's just say this. And here's one of the cooler things. So on a brighter side, if you're adult, you're a tom. If you're an adult, you're a hen. But if you're a sub-adult, if you're a male, you're a Jake. If you're a female, you're a Jenny. And those are the young turkeys. And you stay a Jake and a Jenny until you become a tom and a hen. And it's really cool because when I was out fly fishing in New Mexico, one of my fishing guides, his name was Francisco, and he was telling me that in his culture that they call the younger Francisco. So if you name your son, he is young, we call him Pachin, he says, but then when he becomes an adult, we call him Francisco. And this happened to him, and he happened to have a young son that he was calling Pachin. So we got Jakes and Jennys here, but I guess it does happen in the human population as well. Well, when a hen gives birth, many times it's a clutch, and a clutch just means how many eggs, a clutch of like 10 to 18 eggs. And, you know, and again, many of these die in the first year, predation, things like that. So there's a reason why the hen gives birth to all these poults. and the poults will stay with that hen for the first year. And in the winter flocks, I have seen winter flocks of hens, Jake's and Jenny's, easily 100. And then you see the toms, and those tom flocks are smaller, fours and fives. I've seen a little bit larger, but most of them, I'd say average, that I've seen are fours and fives. And here's a really awesome fact. The poults, they're insectivorous when they're born. So it's the job of the poult to put on as much weight as possible. So insects, bang, 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 protein, put on as much weight as possible. Then all of a sudden, they become herbivorous. The herbivorous just simply means they become plant eaters for the rest of their life. So how cool is that? It's like you're eating one food. You go, no, I don't eat that anymore. And now let's switch to something else. And then another thing you need to know about them is that they are nudifugous. And you go, what the heck is a nudifugous bird? Well, when the poults are born, the word nudifugous means that they know how to survive on their own. So that means if the hen was to die, they would know exactly what to eat, exactly how to act, and eventually when they're large enough to get into the trees, the roost, and all. Now, when you always hear the word instinct, and I talk about instinct often, this is what instinct is all about. Like you're listening and going, wow, he knows exactly what to do. Well, you've heard of the word, and we hear this in the business world about, oh, the pecking order. Well, the pecking order really goes back to the turkeys. And when I say goes back to the turkeys, early spring, the toms, they will battle to be the alpha male, the one that has the rights to mate. And they will actually go through a mating ritual. And this is developing that pecking order from like the alpha on down to the second and subordinates and thirds and going right on down. And there is this little battle that goes on. And turkeys actually have on their legs these huge spurs, and they are huge. And the spurs are there for defending against predators, things like that. But in his mating ritual, you will actually see the toms do a little battle that goes on, little neck battle. It's like you arm wrestle, they neck wrestle a little bit, and they're throwing their spurs at each other. And I describe it this way because I've seen it, I've watched it so many times, and I call them kung fu turkeys because it actually looks, when they're throwing their spurs at each other with the legs, it actually looks like they're doing karate kicks or some type of kung fu movement. It's pretty neat. And I'll give you a fun little example on this one. I'm out. Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. We're filming up at the Avian Wildlife Center. My friend Giselle Smisco, she takes care of injured eagles, owls, hawks, but she also brings in any other bird. And she had an injured turkey there as well. And you should also note the Avian Wildlife Center, their goal is to rehabilitate birds, release them back into the wild. Any bird that can't be rehabilitated, well, then they keep it there for education purposes as they travel to teach people, specifically our youth. But again, obviously adults are enamored by learning about this as well. Well, she had a turkey that's injured there. I get up there. My cameraman, he calls in sick. I'm supposed to be just up there filming a few intros and things or a number of different birding adventures we were going to film. So I've got the TV camera, the tripod, and there's Tom Turkey, and he's actually comes near me, and he's strutting right next to me. So I figured I would just do a little hello and welcome with Happy Thanksgiving from Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. So I bend down to the ground. So I'm sort of like on one knee on the ground. Camera's rolling because there's many times when I'm out in the wild and I actually have to film myself. And it's just what you do as a film guy out in the wild. And the tom is just strutting right behind me. And I'm going, this is the coolest thing. So I do take one and the tom looks up at me. And then I go back to the camera and do take two. Tom still stays there strutting. And I guess after a while, this guy here was thinking, hey, when I'm around here, I strut, people throw food to me. Well, I didn't know this fact. So I stand up like after the fourth, fifth take, whatever it was. And the tom looks at me and like, hey, where's the food? I go, I don't sort of look at him like, I don't have any food. And all of a sudden, this tom starts doing his kung fu turkey, throwing his spurs, trying to give me a shot in the shorts. And I quickly had to move and use the camera to shield me, the tripod to shield me from the turkey and his kung fu moves at me. That's the only thing. I couldn't get that on film because it was just like a spur of the moment thing. And then here's another. It is the U.S. male versus Tom Turkey. Let's see who would win. I'm driving down the road one day, and the white U.S. male trucks, postman delivering, and there's a Tom Turkey, and the truck is parked, and he is attacking the truck. and jumping up and spurring the truck. And I don't know about you, I always joke with my little niece. I always say, like, how many times do you have to run into a brick wall before that you realize it hurts? And some of us in life have to run into it a few times before. Well, obviously, this was true with Tom Turkey here. And he's jumping up and spurring it. And I realized, because I got out of my truck and sort of cautiously walked over, and I realized he was looking at his reflection in the truck. And this was mating season. So he's seeing another turkey going, hey, pecking order, baby. I'm going to let you know that I am the alpha around here. So I don't even know who won the truck or the turkey, but I just thought I'd share that one with you. Well, turkeys, they have great eyesight, and their eyesight is 4 to 5 times better than humans. So think about, like, on a straight street, you know, a main street in your town or something. Think about how far away down the road you can identify, like you're looking, and not only do you realize that it's a human, but you can see and say, hey, Bobby, like, it's your friend, you identify him. So then add 4 times that distance, and you're going, that's how well a turkey sees, and that's pretty awesome. So, you know, when we're out in the wild and we're filming, some of the things we have to realize is, say you have a pair of sunglasses on. Well, or just regular pair of glasses, a reflection, or just the, we'll say the metal on the glasses, a turkey can pick that out. And one time, you know, one of our cameras, because sometimes we have huge TV cameras, but sometimes when we're mobile, we have some smaller guys, and they have the little red light that's flashing. And a Tom picked that up at, I don't know, it was probably like, I'll say close to a quarter mile away, and he sees the flash, and he's gone. So then we went to camo tapes, veils that when turkey hunters, actually, they'll put a veil over their face to break it up. Well, I've cut up a few veils, and then I have one over the camera. We'd have, you know, over us and the cameraman and all that too when we're out there filming. But that's just because their eyesight is actually that good. Now, some of you out there listening to this have a beard. Well, I'm going to tell you that some turkeys, they have beards as well. And you go, what? Turkeys, beards? Well, the toms, they're really modified feathers, but they grow out of the center of their chest. And people always say, well, you can tell the age of a tom based on the beard and how long it is. Well, this is not true, because some of the beards will get so long, they'll rub on the ground, again, with a little wear and tear there. But that is also another cool sight. And I've seen people see turkeys out in the wild for the first time, and all of a sudden they catch sight of the beard, and they're going, what the heck is that? And then you begin to explain to them, this is what it is. Well, another fact with turkeys, they love to roll in the dust. And, you know, they actually take a dirt bath. And I've, you know, been associated with chickens on a farm my whole life, and I've actually filmed on a few chicken farms as well. And chickens also take a dust bath. And as scientists, we start to take a look and say, okay, so what is this dirt bath? You know, what are they doing? Is it to keep the insects off them? And sometimes, you know, if you ever gotten bitten by a number of insects and you might put something on your skin to soothe it, is the dust actually soothing the insect bites? So that's something that we take a look at. Now, when I am out tracking turkeys, here's one of the neat things about it. So I'm looking for, obviously, their track. I'm looking for scratchings, and they will actually scratch the ground, moving leaves and things, looking for their food sources, acorns they love. And I will actually look for their scat, because believe it or not, the male has a J scat. His scat is in the shape of a J. So if I haven't found the turkeys, but I'm out tracking and I find J scat, then I know I'm onto a Tom or a Jake. How cool is that one? Well, here's one of the problems, and you'll always hear me talk about it in many of my shows, is that we keep taking habitat away. And the more habitat away, we're going to find animals that are closer to towns, closer to, you know, the suburbs. I always talk about protecting and preserving habitat. And that's for turkeys, but that's for all other animals. So that's my little, actually not even my little, it's my big, I guess it's a piece of who I am, is about the, I call it my P squared, protect and preserve. So as you're passing around the cranberry sauce, and you can also pass around the cool turkey facts this Thanksgiving, the important things: enjoy your family, your friends, our great country, and have a happy Thanksgiving. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. enjoy life's adventures.
Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Joey B's Outdoor Adventure.
That was awesome.